Now, back from Madrid, and bringing the best of New Zealand and the Isle of Man to the program, it's Jessica Ward.
See the way we actually got an American actress to actually do that ident, just to get yourself sorted out there.
That is brilliant.
It's like kill the fatted calf in many ways, Cameron. You know, Jessica's, not that she was ever a prodigal daughter, but, you know, in a sense, there is that sense, really, you know. And I know there are people who have been working diligently across the way. Well, that's because they are diligent souls. But at the end of the day, the return of the product, so it goes. I won't go any more biblical in this particular stage because who knows what could happen. Camo. As you say on your Facebook update last week on Nashville Access, your super pick came from one of your favourite singers ever.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you want
to? I think so. You know, that's what they call in the trade a cue on this side of the Atlantic. Sometime in Nashville, it loses something in translation.
I told you I'm moving slow. Ashton Shepherd kind of burst on the scene several years ago. With a record produced by Buddy Cannon, who is widely recognized as one of the top traditional country music producers in town. And he's produced people like Willie Nelson and others. He's just an incredible producer. And my wife actually worked with him years ago. But getting back to Ashton, her album was spectacular. It's pure country. I love her phrasing. The way she takes breaths in her music is like no one else in the music business does. She's got such a unique voice. She's an Alabama girl and a big fan of the Crimson or the Crimson Tide. It's hard for me to say that. But we love her anyway. And she put out a new record earlier this year called Out of My Pocket. It was a bunch of songs that she had sitting around that she wanted to record, so she did them. She's no longer with a label. She's doing everything all by herself. She's raising kids and got a husband that goes out of town to work, so she doesn't get out on the road as much as she'd like to. So we want to help her out, and we love her because she's just so down to earth. Who you talk to and who you see on stage are exactly the same people. She's the coolest. So we wanted to celebrate her in Nashville Access last week and celebrate her on the show this week. This is brand new music from Ashton Shepherd on Siren FM.
A day with you's like a walk in the clouds, just like you don't wake me up.
Jessica, first roll of the new academic year, of course, the base of Siren FM at the University of Lincoln. In case you're wondering, Cameron, today is the middle of Welcome Week, in which we welcome newcomers and returning Level 2 and Level 3 folk back to Lincoln's first community radio station and, of course, the base for the University of Lincoln. Jessica, what did you make?
When I went to college, it was Frosh Week, and there was just... It was like animal health, so I'm assuming it's a little bit different.
We've become a lot more civilised.
But it's very British.
Yeah, very British. Lots of ducks around.
A little bit
around.
More polite over here.
Exactly.
More polite as you throw up.
Yeah. Oh, please. You know, we do not want to have pizza-coloured pavement in Lincoln, thank you very much. You know, nor technically yawns. It's not going to happen. You know?
Technicolor duo.
Certain standards.
3D hiccups.
Yes.
Ashton Shepherd, Don't Wake Me Up. Jess, what did you make of her?
I thought it was absolutely brilliant. She's got a very honey-like tone to her voice, doesn't she? And you could just tell, like, the amount of passion and... I know, it felt like you were on a journey with her through the song. It was really nice.
And we didn't want to wake her up at all.
No. Fact,
you know, having said that, Jessica, would you like Camo to work his magic and possibly see if Ashton would be up for joining us on a Midweek Drive show in the not-too-distant future?
Yes, that would be absolutely lovely if you could do that for us.
I think we can work that out.
But we could do a double header. We could actually do a Midweek Drive, and we could do Tessa Snot, Sound and Country Vision.
Yes.
New edition of which we actually record next week. Oh, it's all very, very exciting here. Jessica, Sue Royce, for 'twas indeed her, passed over the following sheet of paper and said, could you provide a little shout-out? I'm sure Cameron will be able to explain what shout-out actually means for anybody who's a shout-out. A little name-check to, I think, SoundOG. And, in fact, what's actually written on the paper there? So would you like to just...
Everything here? Okay.
Pretty much so.
Big shout-out to all students working on the link dog, I think it says, and SoundOG today.
Yes.
Hats of great... I think it's hats.
Hats off. Don't worry,
so
Jessica, remember, is originally from New Zealand. Yeah. Sometimes the English language, when it's written down, can be a different routine. A big shout out to...
It's almost like being Australian.
Say that to
please.
Me. Oh, dear.
Camo, it was all
going
so well.
Had to call you Canadian or
you
something.
Know, 10 minutes, 44 seconds in, suddenly the former colonies start fighting amongst each other, I think. No. Anyway, Camo's become an American citizen since last we spoke.
Oh, I can read it now. I'm very sorry.
That's okay.
Here we go. Lots of great work, Bears Earned. Look out for it on Twitter, @OnTheSoundDar.
We might have to repeat that several times during the course of the program in case it loses something in translation.
Might want to run subtitles across the screen.
Nice. Yeah, I think we'll take that for that sort of body. Anyway, well done if you were participating in the SoundOG or LynxOG events. You don't necessarily have to have beer, of course. It's not necessarily good for you or the liver.
You.
Exactly. You know, it's because you've just heard from Camo that different line. But well done indeed. Yeah. And it will be shortly appearing on Twitter with the handles being @SoundOG, I believe. let's see, Camo, if Jessica Ward has actually still got the skill of delivering those last two questions with panache style and the kind of wit and wisdom she demonstrated back in 2015 and 2014. First studio show of 2016 for Jessica Ward.
I think I remember them.
Okay.
The first one, how have you found the show today? Is it good?
Yeah. I think it's pretty safe to say.
He's found it. Good.
Awesome.
That's nice. We'd like to
positive
hear that
response. That's what we want.
Okay.
And will we be hearing from you very shortly?
I'll be back next week.
He will.
Fantastic.
Not once, but twice, actually. Ooh. Because we have a Sound and Country Vision and a classic Live from Nashville slot to look forward to as well. It just gets better and better. Honestly, it does. You know? And he'll be moving a bit more quicker then. He'll be signing up. He'll be doing his physiotherapy.
He's fit as a fiddle.
He will. But you didn't ask him how he slipped his disc, by the way.
Yes. I want to know your story. Maybe next week.
Maybe next week. Exactly. In 3 seconds after Take That.
Bringing the best of New Zealand and the Isle of Man to the programme, it's Jessica Ward.
Somebody's so real, so real.
And so it goes, opening up a whole new world. Marco had no great hopes when he'd gone round to his neighbour's party, but then he had walked into the dining room and had seen the most beautiful woman in the world. By that we, of course, mean that to Marco, she was the most beautiful woman in the world. But anyway you sliced it, she was still a remarkably beautiful woman. At first, he just glanced at her. She'd been over by the window talking to another woman. He had had a sense of overwhelming, unbelievable beauty. Now, as for Marco, it was not that he was ugly, but not really handsome either. Perfectly amenable to look at, not very tall, and with some mouse-brown hair that was pleasant enough, and some slightly schoolboyish glasses that were okay, but nothing much more than okay, at least in the matter of looks. Between Marco and the most beautiful woman in the world, there was one very large mismatch. He looked at her again as he was at the drinks table, and this time there was no doubt about it. She really was that beautiful. Does that sound familiar to you, William Coles?
Yes, it does, Alex. I must get you to do the audio versions of these books.
Well, always available. Now, Jessica is going to read one of the reviews that actually went up on that thing called Amazon about your good self, specifically it's, about said book. So, Jessica...
It's not the one from my mum, is it?
Take it away, Jessica.
Okay, so this is actually from Alex Leftuke, and it says, an excellent modern parable for contemporary times will reward the reader with a valuable and thought-provoking narrative which will resonate for days.
Resonate for days.
Oh, Alex, you've done me proud. You always do.
Well, it's like I feel it's the random act of kindnesses which just sort of work and make us a happier world for actually doing that whole thing.
I always say you've made it in the world if you get 5 stars from Alex.
Yeah, he doesn't give many of them too, I can tell you.
Well, very true. Plus, I mean, but it's part of a twin whammy, of course, because not only have we got The Geek Who Learns to Charm, but we've also got recently released on Amazon The Princes in the Golden Cage. Jessica, what would you like to speak to William Coles about? Or would you like to say, look, William Coles has returned to the show. He's got a weekly slot now. I'm in the studio for the first time since 2015, having been in Spain for the last several months and the Isle of Man. He should be interviewing me. It's entirely up to you, Jessica.
Well, I think I will just throw a question out there for him. I want to know more about this book, about your latest 21st century parables.
Yeah, Princess in the Golden Cage you're talking about.
Yes.
It's a fantastic story and a lesson for life. And what I've realised about a whole load of these self-help books is that they're all very preachy. And what you need, obviously, if you've got a brilliant life lesson, is to be dressing up as a story. And my story is set in the harem, the Ottoman harem in Istanbul. And in this harem, they have this very peculiar place, which I first visited about 3 or 4 years ago, called the cages, the golden cages. And these were where the sultan's brothers were kept. Normally, the brothers were all executed. But in about 1603 it was, Sultan Ahmet comes to the throne and he decides that rather than killing all his brothers, he will put them into these wonderful cages. And the only problem was that you weren't allowed out of them. But when you were in there, you get all the food, all the drink, and they would get all these hundreds of sex slaves in from all over the Ottoman Empire, odalisks, to sate your sexual needs.
It's a very shallow existence, and I wouldn't recommend it to any possible undergraduate or postgraduate student. It's not going to work. Sorry.
And anyway, so that was that all ended. The cage life ended about 100 years ago. But I tweaked it that cage life is all around us now. The only difference is that most people these days, they make their own cages and then they continue to live in them.
You might not know it, but the Philosopher Supreme in The Wizard of Oz is not Dorothy, nor the Scarecrow, nor the Tin Man, nor even the Cowardly Lion. It's the Wicked Witch of the West, with her green face and her shrieking laugh and her scratchy pearls of worldly wisdom. The Wicked Witch lifts up a large hourglass timer. She turns it over and the blood-red sand starts to trickle out. She has something important to say to Dorothy and to all of us.
Do you see that? She says. That's how much longer you've got to be alive. And it isn't long, my pretty. It isn't long.
Yeah, you really must do the audio.
Auditions available for weddings, bar mitzvahs, funerals and so on. William in the not too distant future, hopefully October, but it may well squeeze over into November. We will be hopefully coming up to Edinburgh to see you.
I'm looking forward to it very much indeed. And I've got something. I might be able to wangle you a wedding as well.
I'm sorry, I'm single. Please.
You wouldn't believe it. Yesterday I was up Glencoe, Buccal Etty, which is a huge mountain, and they had a wedding on the top of it. Can't have that in England.
That is fantastic.
That's why you have it in Scotland, clearly.
In Scotland you can get married outside by rivers, by lakes, and on top of mountains. In England you can't do that.
But you can get married in a football pitch.
No, you can't get married on a football pitch. You can get a blessing there, but you can't actually get married on a football pitch.
That's the
in Scotland, you can get the whole thing in a wanna.
Go to Scotland, everyone. There we go.
If you want a great wedding, yes. that is the way forward. Though going up the top of Glencoe, I mean, you've got to be. It's a good 2-hour walk, and the bride and groom, they were scrambling up this scree slope. It must have been completely knackering for them.
I would have thought so. Nevertheless, we could talk about the rickshaw, but again, time has not sort of been kind to us. But go, Jessica, before we actually head off to Amy Slavin, founder of the Lincoln Sonophilia Festival. That's We Love Sound, Sonophilia. Would you like to put those last two questions to William, the author of the Orlando series, books 1 and 2? I don't even know why Orlando, really. I mean, is it after Orlando Bloom? Is it after Orlando Dunes? Is it after the Florida resort?
It's Virginia Woolf. It's reinvention.
Oh, nice. See what you did there? Excellent stuff. Go, Jessica.
So, William, have you enjoyed yourself on the
siren?
Oh, I do that every time.
I enjoyed myself.
Take it out of context.
Big time. Has Alex enjoyed himself in the same way too?
I feel as though the studio has almost moved just by the very sort of nature of sharing the airwaves with your good self, William, and Jessica, of course. Marvellous. Question two.
Number two is, will we be hearing from you soon?
Like a shot. I mean, just as soon as you ask me on. I can come back later if you want.
Yes. Well. Eager Beavers. We like that.
Sonophilia, Jessica. Sonophilia, the love of sound, and the Sonophilia Festival, which is coming through together with the delightful Amy Slavin, who is the founder of this wonderful sort of festival. Lincoln mum of two, a general all-round wonderful person, and indeed one who, it has been said, our listener would most definitely benefit from hearing about. So therefore, what else can we say other than welcome to the programme, Amy Slavin?
Hello, what an intro, my goodness.
Amy, the Sonophilia Festival, a biannual event put together by your good self, put together originally back in 2014, because effectively you were frustrated about many sound festivals relying on sight to achieve what they wanted.
Yes, exactly. The Sonophilia Festival is about really focusing wholeheartedly on sound and music and audio stuff. And not to the absolute exclusion of everything else, but making sure that really is absolutely what we are all about, and taking that obsession as far and as wide as we can.
Now, looking at some of the events, of course, from Friday the 30th of September, a week on Friday, we launch with the Big Rantan Castle Square, where you can actually come and make a happy noise through the streets of Lincoln. On the 1st of October, we've got the Sonophilia Superfolk Saturday with music from Stick in the Wheel and a Vitality, extraordinary record of Real Vitality put together there Sunday. I mean, talk us through what are the fantastic events that are going to be happening, Amy, which move from St. Mary Lou Wigford Church on the 4th of October through to, intriguingly, Sonophilia Goes Loopy at Lincoln Drill Hall on the 7th of October.
Absolutely. Well, as you say, we begin with the Big Rantan. which is a big, crazy, joyful procession down from the Magna Carta through town and ending up on the Brayford waterfront at the Holiday Inn. And we go on to an evening of live music at the Angel Coffee House on Friday night. On Saturday, we begin from 2 at the Alive Church on Newland. That's where we are having our big super folk gig. And that actually begins with 2 hours of free participation and entertainment where you can come along and join in with the Hanging Johnnies and Lincoln's Shanty Blasters to sing some seafaring songs and other folk songs, which will be quite raucous and loads of fun. And alongside that, we have a workshop for families, for kids, to make seafaring things and to get involved in story and drama around the same theme. And that's all going to be going on at once, so that I'm hoping that will be quite a lovely, mad, sort of buzzy sort of couple of hours. And then from 4 o'clock we go into our folk super bill with Mossy Christian Illett, who is 13 years old and playing pro violin, and is just amazing. You have to come and just have a look at things.
Now, I also see that on Wednesday the 5th of October, which is 1 week after we featured Fine Folk from the Sonophilia Festival on our Inspired On Air programme, we have got a free event called ESP, not extra sensory perception, Jessica, but extra sonic practice.
Ooh.
A group of scholars and artists from the University of Lincoln who work with sound in multiple contexts and configurations, playfully and knowingly reappropriating the abbreviation from its origin, ESP, extrasensory perception, a response to the growing prevalence of sound within various disciplinary context. And you've got Louise Wilson from Leeds and Rebecca Lee from Nottingham, together with the University of Lincoln's Extrasonic Practice Research Group, talking about sound and space.
Hmm.
Jessica, questions from yourself.
Yes, well, first of all, I can't believe how busy you guys are. You've been busy beavers all this summer, I suppose.
Not only that, they've also got a fantastic website called 2016sonophilia.co.uk.
I think you're doing really well. I see your posters around Lincoln every now and then.
Oh, good. When we're just embarking on our wave of final posters, and we will have a complete printed programme out for people to pick up, and so you can actually carry the whole programme in your hand. That will be released by the end of the week, so look out for that, because that will be a real handy thing to carry about with you.
It seems as though we've got this wonderful sort of celebration of festivals, because we've got, obviously, the upcoming book festival. We've got Sonophilia. We've got the pop-up festivals from the various other things. Have you specifically specified this day, Amy, to ensure that in that week you should have just go sound crazy as well with Lincoln?
Well, actually, we chose that week because in 14 we went later in October, and we thought, actually, if we move just a couple of weeks earlier, we'll get a little bit better weather, and we'll still get all the students back at university and the kids at school, and it's still into the autumn, still the same time of year, but we'll just hopefully have a little bit of extra sunshine. Some of our things, well, all of our venues are walking distance apart from each other, and we hope that people will walk around and experience our different installations, go and listen to our headphone pieces and our High Street installation, which you won't be able to avoid experiencing as you walk down past the High Bridge in the High Street. But we also have a project called Silent Spaces, which invites people to roam around the city investigating under thought of or under known quiet spaces, or spaces that you might say are in quotes silent, but we're inviting people to go and explore those and discover what silence really might mean or not mean in that context. So, yeah, we're hoping to have a little bit more of the autumn sunshine to shine on people as they're doing that. So, yeah, we thought there's no reason to actually purposefully make people come out and do those things in the last week of October when we can do it in the first.
precisely. Otherwise, you get confused with Halloween and all sorts of other strange things that go on around that time. An 8-day-long festival program breaking barriers between experimental sound art and live music across genres, developing audiences, supporting artists, encouraging people to try something new.
Hi, I'm Jim Broadbent. You're listening to Siren Radio, 107.3 FM.
I thought it was time the patron actually sort of crept in there with a little line. because Robert Wyatt hasn't done one for us as yet. But you've got two dynamic festival patrons with both Jim Broadbent and Broadbent, we just heard him there, and Robert Wyatt. It's certainly creating waves, this one. I mean, I presume, Amy, we're already looking ahead to 2018 and the next Sonophilia.
Absolutely, yes, yes. Yes, watch this space. Watch all the spaces, or just watch space in general, is my advice to you.
See what you did on that one.
Can't go wrong.
Very good. Sonophilia team, let's mention them. Marketing promo and admin, Tiki Nadal. Installations producer, Anthony Belcher. Artist networking consultant, Ben Willits. A treasurer, Colin Lingard. Health and safety, Mark Seal. He needs to be doing his stuff. Superfolk producer and legal consultant, Crawford Thompson, who I think might be joining us on Inspired On Air next week, Jessica.
That's right.
Oh, exactly. And technical consultant, Daz Disley. Made up name, surely. No, it is. It's the Daz Disley.
So cool. Yes, amazing.
So anything else about finding the festival? Obviously, there are a couple of events that are actually free. Is it best to go to the website 2016sonophilia.co.uk to
it
find
is,
out?
Yes, sonophilia.co.uk. Now, one or two free events, that's putting it very mildly, but actually there are one or two ticketed events and almost everything is free. You can go to the whole of Sonophilia and go to every event and experience everything over the whole 8 days for a combined total of £25, which we think is pretty stunning value and you can't argue with it unless you come along and go to everything and then tell us what was wrong with it afterwards. So there's the challenge.
Jessica, there is your challenge. Will you actually get some of your friends and colleagues to attend a couple of the Sonophilia events?
I will try my darndest.
Yeah, especially the headline event. It'd be fantastic. I'm certainly looking forward to hopefully catching up with your good self and touchy base. A little nod of the hat to Joseph, of course, who worked very hard in the publicity department to actually say, you should feature Amy, she's very good. And of course, she is.
Yeah, so, he was true, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
True to his word.
Truly one. So, Amy Slavin, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have indeed. I can confirm that I have had a reasonably interesting telephonic link
nice.
With you today.
And presumably no relation to Bernie Slavin, the former Republic of Ireland footballer. And indeed,
no,
Middlesbrough Centre
Forward. Sadly, his pension doesn't reflect on me in any way.
just a thought, you know. So, can we look forward to inviting you onto the programme once again? And will you come back and join us on the midweek drive?
Of course.
Annette Audrey, ace actress and top correspondent, now live on the Midweek Drive.
Yes, absolutely. Because let's face it, it's difficult not to be live on the Midweek Drive. It kind of rhymes, doesn't it, Annette?
It does.
So we welcome back today not just your good self, Annette, for our usual monthly wonderful audio missive, but also the return of our formerly New Zealand-based, now Isle of Man resident, and indeed recently in Spain student. That would be Jessica Ward.
Hello.
There we are. Jessica has returned to the Midweek Drive after months and months and months away, and what luck that she can connect with your good self on her first returning show. It's generally wonderful.
Oh, good.
Stuff. Yeah. So are we going American political scene? Are we talking about me and you in a dog named Boo? Where are we going today, Annette?
Well, today, where it's yesterday was the new tomorrow. I had a dream a few weeks ago where a drone delivered a package to my door from Amazon a day before I ordered it. Oh, well, there's no need to channel Dr. Freud to suss out some dark meaning to this midnight visitation. Hours before, I'd been lost in the black and white illustrated world of the 1897 Sears Roebuck mail order catalog. I'd first set eyes on this £5, yeah, I weighed it, compendium of American Victoriana, when my husband Arthur and I became a couple. I had wondered, silently, from where he'd assembled his wardrobe and the few sticks of furniture he assured me would go nicely with any decor. A peek inside the catalogue gave me a hint as to the inspiration for his eclectic, if somewhat out-of-date, sensibility. The secret, he said, was quality. That once purchased, he never threw anything away until the last thread of mileage gave up the ghost. He bought well, and in return, his purchases repaid his trust. It's been almost 30 years since I last thumbed through this doorstop of lost treasures, and an eye-opener it was. There, in almost 800 pages, dense with finely detailed woodcuts, was a dizzying variety of merchandise. A gigantic department store dedicated to delivering everything from the latest ladies' French knickers to home pipe organs directly to your door and without the anxiety of having to dodge a pesky drone. Sent free twice a year from the company's Chicago headquarters, the catalog anticipated the birth of the Internet by some 75 years, allowing customers to visit Sears' vast warehouse through the catalogue's teeming pages, and then with just the cost of a 2-cent postage stamp, order everything risk-free, all merchandise guaranteed to be of the highest quality, or your money back. It's a time capsule of an age where the future was available before they knew it, including virtual reality. Turn to page 468 and take your choice of handheld stereoscopes, which show photos in startlingly lifelike 3D. And the subjects, among the hundreds, including hand-colored photos of the crucifixion and Niagara Falls, were a few crowd pieces such as a dentist pulling a tooth, a woman beating a boy, and a masked man swallowing rats. And Edith Wharton had the nerve to call this the Age of Innocence. The company guaranteed delivery within 3 weeks. No click on here for second day service, which of course then you'd also miss the delicious anticipation that waiting for something desired can bring. The daily trips to the post box, or the hopeful looks up and down the road for the vehicle delivering your 2-seater horse-drawn Phaeton buggy, the forerunner of the future Rolls Royce, or the deluxe new sunshine kitchen stove that burned hard and soft coal or wood. Arga, eat your heart out. With over 6,000 items, the Sears catalogue was the shopping mall of the 19th century, connecting a fast-growing country from coast to coast with merchandise that was as much wish fulfillment as it was practical. I can't imagine that there was a run on the ventilated false beard for $2,
shown in fine detail on page 321, but the description conveniently skipping its intended purpose. Would I be remiss in not detecting a degree of snicker-snee here? Or for those with a thinning dome, there's Sears Premium Toupee at $3.75, guaranteed to escape detection from even the most critical examination. The advert offers a helping hand in how to measure for a perfect fit by cutting a piece of paper to the exact shape and size of the bald spot. The contortions needed for a successful outcome are too humiliating to contemplate. In the section announcing elixirs and nostrums for robust health, there's one I'm certain would have had Dr. Crippen, one of England's most infamous serial killers, clapping his hands with glee as he ordered Madame Ferris's French arsenic complexion wafers. Perfectly safe, the instructions promised, if used properly. Before a Harvard dropout can be credited with creating the Facebook dreadnought, a glance over the shoulder finds the Sears catalogue had been there, done that. In hundreds of signed testimonials to the company, men and women from all walks of life shared how what they had purchased had affected their lives. In one, a gentleman from Iowa was over the moon with his six pocket revolvers received in good time and found as advertised when used. Should I ever have need of this kind again, you will get my order. One can only wonder for what need the purchase was put to use and if the future necessitated a reorder. Of passing interest, the catalogue that Arthur bought in 1968 is a reprint of the original. In an editor's note, the publishers report spending almost 2 years in an exhaustive search for original copies of this unique record of a country's character and history at a time when America was on the cusp of challenging Europe as a world leader. To their amazement, they could locate only one original catalogue, the 1897 edition, found in a long-forgotten trunk sitting in a Kansas attic. As the front cover proudly proclaims, the 1897 issue was number 104. That the preceding 103 catalogues, not to mention all the future editions, seem to have vanished has an unexpected link to today's technology. For all their state-of-the-art currency, the CDs and DVDs in your collection will one day self-erase, along with the emails that vaporize with a click of a mouse. Once again, it appears that the Sears Roebuck catalogue was, sadly, ahead of its time. There. Now you know about the Sears Roebuck catalogue.
Absolutely.
Hello? Do you know,
I know it's all right. We haven't, we as if we'd leave you from that sort of point. I was just eulogising over the quality of the line. And you'd be pleased to know, Annette, that whilst doing that reading, I also managed to multitask, which admittedly for a male is very, very frightening, if not physically impossible. But, you know, I have actually put up two photographs of Jessica Ward in the studio as we speak. So you could actually go online to facebook.com/Southside Broadcasting, Midwick Drive, of course, sorry, I'm a fan.
And you can, there you'll find it.
There we are, you see. It's just so good.
Oh, right. I haven't got it on, so no. I'll have to have a look in a while.
Well, exactly. it's not going to go away unless, of course, there's a power cut, in which case, as you rightly said, you know, bring out the Sears Roebuck catalogue. Jessica, any questions about that time machine?
Have you ever seen one? Have you ever seen one of the catalogues?
There was substantial. I mean, a bit like the old, I mean, like any of the sort of the catalogue systems that were actually there are often much better loved of postal workers, of course, who used to have to shift them, you know, on back-breaking routines to deliver the whole things. But yeah,
absolutely.
Jessica,
of course, in America, you know, people would have seen them because they weren't, you know, they people, I suppose, have
America.
Heard of them. Not really seen them.
Home of the department store, let's face it. You know, I mean, if it wasn't for America, no British home stores, no Woolworths. Oh, hang on, we don't have any Woolworths or British home stores now.
No, we don't.
What a loss.
Exactly. If only they'd had catalogues.
An amazing catalogue. You can buy anything you want. I mean, from a, as I said, a phaeton buggy and the cost of the things. I mean, you can buy a lovely side table for about $2. You know, it's extraordinary.
Well,
however, I suppose in those days, $2 was reasonably expensive.
It could be £200.
Times change,
exactly.
Yes.
And yet, do they, Jessica? Do they really change? You know, I mean, we have this. Anyway,
thoughts
or questions for yourself or Annette?
Well, I just thought that's amazing. That's your original work that you were giving a little piece from.
One of these days, we will actually compile them together, and it will be a book that will be on the canon of many journalism degrees around
very
the world.
Exciting. Yes.
Citizen journalism in the 21st century. Genius stuff.
So, as like from a perspective of a student, getting in the zone for writing is quite hard sometimes. Like, I'm about to start my dissertation. What is your, like, advice on getting ready to write? Do you have any little tricks?
No.
Nice.
She's
you
very
see,
dedicated. She gets down and she does it.
And that, Jessica.
I cook and hope for the best.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I sit there often for a long time trying to think, what am I going
the
to
muse
do?
The muse hits and it works perfectly. You know, I was tempted to say, Jessica, she's from Australia. You know, you're from New Zealand. Automatically,
yes.
There's going to be tension there.
A
know?
Little bit.
Oh, yes, the New Zealanders.
Australians.
It could be Arthur Weingarten's theme next week, the relationship between New Zealander and Australia.
Oh, don't start that. There'll be a civil war.
Wow. He doesn't know enough about it. He thinks he does, but he doesn't.
He's American, isn't
it? I've met a lot of New Zealanders, and they were absolutely lovely.
See, we're just lovely, aren't we? And Australians, they're okay. I've met a few, and they seem all right. They're very friendly.
You're listening to the Midweek Drive, putting its little step into global relations between former colonies. There we are.
That's right.
Whoa, Elliot.
I know. So far, we've looked at the Sonophilia Festival. We've looked at that whole notion of the drone in Annette's dream arriving the day before.
Right.
Yeah. Probably has, of course. Yeah.
I have such a horror. I keep hearing. Have they got them in England? I mean, are they starting? They're bound to do it.
They have indeed. Yes. Yeah. In fact, I've seen a drone in Lincoln that's been tested out in various other ways. So they've had drones, etc.
I've just recently been flying a drone myself. I was working at a small business called Blue Olive Productions in the Isle of Man, and they have one. Unfortunately, you need to go and take a course and therefore get a license.
Have your certificate.
Yeah, so we could only fly it around the grounds that we were working in. So,
how did you find flying the drone? Did it actually lead to a whole new perspective, which you said, "I know, I'm going to fly this as my drone all over the world."
My drone. It was really good. It was really easy. It's all done via an iPad or maybe even an iPhone. I just think it's amazing how technology has shifted and now we can fly cameras all around the place. And although it's got its negatives as well as positives, I've heard a lot of stories.
I think flying them around, you know, for certain photographs of certain things, I think is fine.
Yes.
But I have such a horror. I get things delivered from Amazon and places, and I dread is that I walk out one day, oh, look, you know, I think.
And it just bumps on your door and doesn't
do
anything.
And it hits you on the head, as it comes down.
Personally.
You're laid out unconscious on the doorstep.
Exactly.
God forbid that happens.
Precisely. There we are. That's the classic word of Jessica Ward.
But the other really terrifying thing is driverless cars. I think we'll have to leave that for another. I think that's going to be another episode.
Totally agree there.
That will be October then.
So, no. I'm not a fan.
That's a true horror.
They've only had one accident so far, and it was just a death. So,
they've had a lot more. They have
very
here,
scary.
Anyway.
Have confidence, as Julie Andrews once said. Have confidence in you. That's the important thing.
Absolutely, but never in one of those.
But not in a driverless car.
I think this calls for a report next month.
Yeah, I think so. Any teaser heads to what Arthur's going to be talking about on next week in 7 days' time? Or is it easy? Because I know Arthur likes to go into a darkened room and actually sort of allow the muse to actually strike him. Who knows what could happen with respect to Arthur next week? But it'll happen. It's important. Jessica, last two questions for Annette Andre, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Well, I have. I always do. I hope you have enjoyed being there. And
it was riveting.
Thank you for talking.
I'm still holding you to the fact that hopefully in Jessica's final year as an undergraduate, you will actually return to Lincoln so you can actually meet face-to-face.
Oh, yes, that would be a dream.
Oh, I hope so. I'm putting that on my list that I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If only to actually have Australia and New Zealand in the same, and America, of course.
We've had that before, haven't we? And
we have
nothing too dodgy happened, did it? We didn't fight.
A bit competitive, but other than that, it's and the other question, which Annette's already probably answered.
Yes? Oh, well.
She will return.
Yes, that was good.
Will return. Yes, Annette Andre will return.
Fantastic.
She will. She will. Absolutely.
S-I-L-V-E-R spells silver. And not gold. But we have got the singer of Silver online now, the legendary Lindsay Gold. Lindsay, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thanks. How are you today?
Oh, very good indeed. Now, we've been busily tagging you on Facebook because you may have noticed, or maybe not actually, because to Lindsay, Facebook might be just yesterday's news when it comes to social media. She might be Snapchatting and doing all sorts of other strange wonderful things.
I'm glued to Facebook.
But, you will see Jessica Ward, our co-host this evening, actually holding up a quality edition of Heroines of Future Past. Well, of course, you've got yourself, Lindsay Gold, which I'm going to pass over to her now, because this is what we're here to talk about, plus more. It has finally been released. 11 sensational songs. An album which explores your own heroines in your own unique way.
From the Sky News Centre.
Yes, we just say happy trails from that sort of point of view. It's a heroine in her own sort of way, but it does all sorts of things, does it not, Lindsay?
Yeah, it does. It's very weird to be on here again. I just wanted to say it's so strange to be on here after so long and actually have this completed.
Well, it was only 2.5 years ago when we started, wasn't it, really, in terms of
the
sequence?
Hardly anything.
You can't hurry genius. I mean, let's face it, you've got to sort of work our way through it. It's the craft of the whole sequence. It's everything else that sort of works on that basis.
Indeed, true.
To quote from a certain Sam Stone, one day I was cleaning up downstairs and heard the familiar music from Phantom coming from upstairs. And I'd always loved Sarah Brightman's voice, so I called up to Lindsay saying, "You're listening to the CD again." That's not a Sam Stone accent, by the way. I don't really do Manchester Bolton. And the singing stopped. And she called down, "No, Mummy, I'm singing." Wow.
Oh, that's very precious of me. It's very, very spot on.
You think so? Yeah. Well,
yeah. Alex always does a good impression.
Yeah, it's just this with it being Welcome Week, though, it's a case of getting back into the synchronicity of the whole thing. That's the challenge we're faced with, really. Yeah. Still, no, seriously, a vocal range which goes from Kate Bush to Sarah Brightman, echoes of those, etc. I'm going to ask Jessica, I'm going to put Jessica on the spot now, Lindsay. I'm going to ask her to select a tune based on title alone. Obviously, we've already listened to S-I-L-V-E-R, but something else from the Lindsay Gold Storyteller and indeed album Heroines of Future Past, which is, of course, what we're featuring because it is Lindsay Gold Day! Yay!
Lindsay Gold Day, officially.
Well, you know, I've just sort of named it so therefore that's what it will be. So that's good. Jessica, what would you like to go for?
Well, they all sound fantastic on your lovely CD you've got here. I might go for Twisted Smile.
Do you know, I had a feeling
interesting.
Twisted Smile might be there, particularly with reference to North's Gods of Mischief,
that's
I find.
It.
They should call you Loki, Loki Lysmith, your twin.